This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Well, what can I say? I guess if you live in a cave somewhere or way out in the suburbs and you want to get set up with internet service, it doesn't come the next day or the next week. So right now, Chris O'Brien has limited cell phone access. He can't even call us on the phone and depend on the cell phone working. And hopefully by today or tomorrow or next week or sometime, he will have internet access. That's what keeps him off the show. No secret conspiracies. So you've called J. Randall Murphy, who is available to join us again as our guest co-host. Randall, how are things going with you?
Oh, I'm really glad to be here. This sounds like it's going to be a really good show.
Our special guest this week is Dr. Irina Scott, and she's author of an interesting book that we're going to talk about quite a bit called UFOs Today, 70 Years of Lies, Misinformation, and Government Cover-Up. Why 70 Years? The Kenneth Arnold Sighting was June 24, 1947. Irina, welcome to the Paracast.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Now, as I was looking at the book, I came across the acknowledgments.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story behind a couple of the things you have here. Of course, I recognize a lot of the people. I know a lot of the people. So, for example, a very old dear friend of mine, I don't know if he's very old, but a real nice guy, Rick Hilberg, he supplied photos to Irina, including those of Dr. J. Allen Hynek and Ray Palmer. Now, I'm going to tell you the background of some of this, especially the Ray Palmer photo. Now, Dr. Hynek, I met him a couple of times, and I talked to him a few times in the 70s and 80s. And I remember after hearing of his death, I called his wife and sent my sympathies and everything. Okay, Ray Palmer, taken in 1965, was taken at his home in Amherst, Wisconsin. I'm not sure if Rick took that picture or Jim Moseley, who took us all to Amherst, Wisconsin. So, yes, I was there when that photo was taken. And I'd interviewed Ray Palmer. So that was fascinating. And I wonder here in writing the book, Irina, where do you bring up Ray Palmer as part of it, part of the picture of the UFO field?
He was, how he got in, was by hiring Kenneth Arnold to investigate a UFO sighting. But he was pretty interesting in himself because he was sort of like the inventor of science fiction. Back in those days, it wasn't too well received, but it's a huge thing now. And he was also a publisher of Fate magazine, which is still published, and kind of a pioneer in ufology and everything.
You've got a picture of his Coming of the Saucers right here in your book, I see. Ray Palmer and the Kenneth Arnold book, Coming of the Saucers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this looks very well illustrated.
Well, that book is right here in my bookshelf.
Great.
What happened here, of course, is that Palmer hired Kenneth Arnold to go to Tacoma, Washington, to investigate the Maury Island case. As we all heard, the Maury Island case was pretty strange.
Mm-hmm.
It was involved some kind of objects or slag that was dropped, one or more crafts. And when Arnold went there, he entered a spy novel. It was like James Bond, because he came to Tacoma, and he figured he's a private pilot. It's not a key season. He flew there in his plane, and he couldn't find a hotel room. All the hotel rooms were taken, except for one room that he found registered in his name. Isn't that strange? Registered in his name. He tells this in the book. And he said also that he was being tapped. Whatever he said there, people were listening. Like I said, reads a little bit like a spy novel, Maury Island. Just fascinating background that you bring that up. This is all the stuff that happened early in the UFO field, and I want to go into those details with you, Irina. But first of all, what led you to even become interested in this subject, especially someone who's an academic? The supposedly people who have the kind of background you have don't generally get into this.
Well, what led me is that I was almost born interested in astronomy. I remember when I was a kid looking at the stars and everything and wondering what's going on. And later I majored in astronomy in college. But then I tried to apply for jobs and they were male only. And nobody even gave me an application. And so I went into another field. But I remained interested in all aspects of astronomy. And although it's unusual, also in UFOs. So I've been interested for a long time, but I really didn't get active until later.
Now, that's so unfortunate. You know, we talk about this all the time. Like, we make a big deal now that a very successful superhero movie, Wonder Woman, directed by Patty Jenkins, is the highest grossing film directed by a woman. But why should we even have to consider that? Why should we have to consider that when you're trying to get work as an astronomer, they didn't hire women? Nowadays, of course, you wouldn't have a choice. That when a woman directs a blockbuster film, that's something special or unique. Is this something you've seen throughout your life or just trying to get that early job?
No, I think there's roadblocks all the way through. Before, it used to be male only, and I'd go to a job fair, and they would have astronomy and physics positions and that sort of thing. And they'd have a sign up that says male only. And I would walk in the room and they would escort me right back out because it was illegal for me to apply. And I think there's a lot of problems with discrimination now, but they're not as formal as they were when they just stated male only.
That's just outrageous by today's standards. I mean, I was going to ask you, how did you know that they were excluding women? And I mean, actually putting a sign out? That's ridiculous.
Well, that's what they did back then. But I was reading an article this month in an astronomy page on the internet, and there's still a lot of limitations to females, and I think it's only about 5% of astronomy full professors are women now.
Well, we've seen a couple of them on the television shows, on the History Channel and the Learning Channel, and they seem to be Amy Mainzer, for example. But so I think it's opened up a lot more. I think that Jodie Foster's role in Contact maybe helped a little bit of that from a media perspective as well.
Yes, and I'm glad things are better, but I think there's still problems.
So could women not get into the Cosmos Club back then? Is that, you know, the one Sagan was threatened to be excommunicated from if he didn't let go of the UFO issue? Or do you know about that?
I don't remember it right now. I know he looked down on UFOs, and he was always saying, oh, they're billions and billions and billions miles away, and they can't get here, and things like that.
Well, Dr. Scott, how about telling us some more about your book? This looks really good, and it reminds me of another book out of the MUFON camp here, the UFOs and Government, a Historical Inquiry. I picked that one up when it came out. Very good one by Swords. And yours looks like it's right up there along with that.
Well, thank you.
I understand, of course, that Randall got the assignment to come on with me at the last minute. So I did forward him a copy of the version of the book that your publisher, Philip Mantle, sent me. But I didn't have time for him to look at it. I do want to talk to you, though, about some of the key things in the book and the key subjects, especially about government secrecy and UFOs. But before that, have you ever seen anything yourself that you couldn't identify? We're going to have the answer to that after we do our break. Dr. Irina Scott, she's author of UFOs Today, Our guest co-host is Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
When fresh liquid whey is processed into a dry powder, the special proteins that make up the whey lose their original shapes. They fold in on themselves and lose their functional value. One World Whey undergoes a technological enhancement that we believe restores these potent proteins back to their original shapes the body can use.
I chose to try One World Whey first before going to a doctor who would likely only prescribe drugs. To my delight, it worked. After stabbing pain for years, to have it completely gone is a miracle. I'd like to also stress that, for me, it took several months of taking One World Whey before I had improvement, and then an entire year for my gut to feel 100% healed. So now I tell my friends, give your body time to make use of the healing power of One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
A reminder here, the best way for you to support the Paracast is to become a member of the Paracast Plus. Join up. We give you this show without the network ads in a better quality format. And we also give you the After the Paracast podcast and lots of other goodies that you don't get just listening to the free show. That's plus.theparacast.com for more information, plus.theparacast.com. So, Irina Scott,
yes.
Have you ever seen a UFO?
I saw something mysterious. Have you ever heard of the Marfa Lights? Marfa is a town in Texas where they have sort of repetitive sightings of objects. And it's so famous that they actually have a viewing area.
Sort of like the Brown Mountain?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
They have a huge viewing area. And I've been in Marfa, and I've looked at the viewing area and looked for UFOs. And I saw lights. And people were saying, oh, maybe this is a UFO or something. But I thought they were just cars driving along trails in the mountains, because where they're mainly seen is in the mountains, mountain range south of Marfa. And I was there and I saw lights, but they didn't impress me at all. But I knew people that live, well, actually on top of a volcano, but extinct, in the mountains north of Marfa. And I was staying in a place that had a big picture window and a deck, and they looked out over Marfa. Marfa was about 20 miles away. It was about the only town you could see. It was up in the air and in the desert. So I was very familiar with looking at Marfa in all kinds of circumstances, dark and light and everything else. And I had a camcorder with a telephoto. And so one night, very late at night, I saw a light over Marfa, a big light. I thought, well, this is probably an airplane. And so I ran for my camera, but I thought it's going to be gone by the time I get back. And I got back, and instead it was still there. And so I started photographing it. And I photographed it for half an hour, and it stayed there. It would very, very slowly blink off and blink back on. But in general, it didn't move, and it seemed a lot brighter than any of the lights in Marfa. Sometime later, I called the airport to see if they had any reports of anything. And they said no, but the airport closed early. It was just a local airport. And so that was my sighting, and I don't know what it was.
So how did it depart, or did it fly away, or did it just sort of, what happened to it?
I don't know how it got there or left, because it showed up late at night, and I was just filming away, and I started going to sleep. And so I decided to go to bed, and so I don't know how it left. I should have stayed and watched it.
Yeah, I would think so. In other words, it could have just been some big illuminated balloon or something. Somebody was playing with it. You know, it's kind of hard to tell if it was anything truly unusual, unless you could see it perform some sort of maneuver.
No, it didn't do anything. It just stayed in the same spot, and that was kind of odd, because a balloon ought to move around a little. The airport, I'm sure, would have known if somebody was flying a balloon right over Marfa. So I really don't know. And this was blinking on and off, too.
Well, when things can be explained, you know, rationally and with normal, regular technology, then I think it's safer to assume that's probably what it is. It's something, I mean, if we could produce that phenomena ourselves, and there's an example of how it could be done fairly simply, then just because nobody else reported it doesn't mean we should jump to the conclusion that it was something alien or anything like that. But it sounds interesting. At least it was unusual.
Well, I didn't report it, but I was just curious about what it was.
So your book, then, it deals with stuff prior to the Arnold sighting. That was back in June 24th of 1947. So I'm guessing there might be some stuff in there about Foo Fighters and ghost rockets?
There was a little. And the first one of the first ones I reported was by the family of Cordell Hull. Cordell Hull was the longest-serving statesman in the United States. He was called the Father of the United Nations, and Roosevelt wanted him to run with him for vice president. And who we talked to were the daughters of his cousin. His cousin went to visit him once in Washington, and the reports were that Cordell showed him this secret chamber under the Capitol building, and it had creatures, they called it, they must not look like humans, preserved in big jars of formaldehyde, and some kind of a crash craft. The daughters said that they told him that Their father said, don't ever say anything about this until we're long gone. But they finally decided to say something. And they thought this was about 1939. So there's a possibility, I'm not saying it proves anything, that the government knew something for almost 10 years before 1947.
That's interesting.
Are you aware of, because of your association with MUFON, the time that James Carrion was director?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know he came out with a book called The Rosetta Deception, suggesting that the ghost rockets during World War II especially, and after World War II, were put-up job, evidently to spook the Russians.
I didn't read the book, so I don't know.
I know there have been suggestions there about government involvement in some of the early cases. But before we even get to that, I want to focus on the main thing here, if you're focusing on covering the book, the lies, misinformation, government cover-up. When do you think the government began to officially engage in the cover-up?
I think officially it might be Roswell. But I think unofficially they may have been exploring the subject for maybe a year or more. I was given a document, Wright-Patterson, that showed some investigation going on in January of 1947. And there were a lot of sightings reported before that. And so I don't know exactly when. I think they became aware of the subject with the Foo Fighters during the war. And then as better sightings were reported, I think they were, somebody in the government was studying them. So I couldn't say, but I think they started before Arnold. I don't know that they did, but I mean, that there's a suggestions that they did.
Yeah, we know there was some briefings that took place and that they tried to evaluate the ghost rockets and the Foo Fighters and so on prior to the formation of Project Sign. There's some documents out there that show that. But it doesn't seem like there was really, you know, heavy dedicated investigation. They received reports, they filed them away, they didn't do much else with them, at least from what I can see.
No, I just meant there was a suggestion that made me wonder. I think officially Project Sign started in 1948, and that would be the official start, I think. But obviously they were paying attention to the subject when the events happened to Arnold.
Let's do our break here, guys, and we'll pick up on. Got more to come with Dr. Irina Scott and Randall Murphy and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets. 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Identity theft is going to ruin your life if you're not prepared. Hi, everyone. This is Paul with Liberty ID. Hey, millions of Americans fall victim every year. Odds are your identity has already been compromised and alerts aren't going to save you. The solution is restoration, and the only company that provides a money-back guarantee is Liberty ID. Go to Liberty ID and use the promo code FREETRIAL for 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL for 60 days free. Cancel at any time. Liberty ID is the industry leader in identity theft restoration. information with a 100% success rate in restoring our subscribers' identities no matter how they're stolen. Liberty ID fixes the fallout for you. Liberty ID does the work, but you have to be prepared. Go to LibertyID.com, promo code free trial. LibertyID.com, LibertyID.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
On the Paracast with Gene Steinberg, our guest co-host J. Randall Murphy, our guest, Irina McAmon Scott, Ph.D., author of UFOs Today, 70 Years of Lies, Misinformation, and Government Cover-Up. Now, in terms of the government cover-up, because we're talking about the early days of UFO research, is it just an a la carte thing, or is there a specific agency charged with hiding the secret?
Well, I've done a lot of investigation at Wright-Patterson, and that's where the official studies that interface with the public took place, such as Project Blue Book and Project Sign and all that. But I didn't think that they did a very good job of investigating. And so I think there was someplace else that was really doing the investigation that didn't interface with the public, or it was secret. And I think I worked at the Tell Memorial Institute, and they had a project of working on UFOs from Blue Book in the early 1950s.
They evaluated the Blue Book reports and did the percentage and statistical analysis of the case studies. And that seems to be quite controversial with the skeptics, but when you really look at it, the way they boiled it down was that, well, it just doesn't seem reasonable to assume that all of these reports are just the subject of misidentifications, hoaxes, and natural phenomena.
Well, I think they did an excellent study, and they found out results that were under the 0.05% probability that they use, confidence level that they use in science. So they actually showed that something was happening, but I don't think anybody realized it at the time, and I think the government kind of covered it up.
It became available, and you can look through it, and I think it's definitely one of the better studies out there. And what I like about the say the Golden age of ufology is that you are dealing with accredited institutions and departments within the government. At the time, they didn't really know what they were dealing with. I mean, the real era of disinformation and denial didn't set in until after the Robertson panel. So in the beginning, they did really want to know what these things were. So they weren't actively trying to debunk them so much way back then. And you've got really good source reporting. So what's your take on that?
My take was that I think Battelle did an excellent job of the statistical study. And they had a lot of ideas on how to investigate things that I've looked through people's papers, and I was just amazed. But they didn't do it, so far as I know. And I think one reason behind the secrecy, I mean, I learned this at Battelle, not at a government agency, but Battelle had a project called Stork that was already classified, and it was for investigating Russian or artifacts from other countries. And when the UFO subject came up, we just went into Stork, which was already classified. And so I think the same thing happened in the government, that it went under foreign technology, which was a big classified subject. And that's why it's been classified ever since. And so I think the subject went into places that nobody knew about. Wright-Patterson was open, and it was the interface with the public. And to start with, Wright-Patterson was very interested in UFOs, and they even put out a publication that suggested they were from E.T. But somebody in Washington, different people in Washington, quelched all these ideas and showed it to the public as just nonsense and something to laugh at.
So since then, they shut down Blue Book and their official publicly known investigations, but obviously the technology that the various governmental agencies possess now has improved immensely. We've got satellites that are out beyond the moon that can look back at the Earth and the far side of the moon and everything else. So, where in the government would these people be who have access to all the technology that is able to track these things? I mean, obviously the public doesn't have access to that, so somebody does. Who are they, do you think, in your opinion?
Well, I work for the Defense Intelligence Agency with lots of high security clearances, and I worked in an air order battle section where we were supposed to identify anything that was flying over this area of the Earth. And you'd think if there was any place that they would look for UFOs, it would be there. But nobody said a thing to us about UFOs, and my supervisors found something they couldn't understand, and they reported it as a UFO, and it went to the higher-ups. And these were the top people in the DIA, looking at the top photo interpreters and photogrammists, looking at something they couldn't identify on the ground. I mean, it wasn't on the ground, it was over water. But it was on two missions. And I would think that they would let us know something about UFOs because it would come up, because we were the people that were watching all the aircraft. So they reported it, and the higher-ups said that it was a flaw in the film. And it obviously wasn't. And they argued with the higher-ups, and the higher-ups continued to say it's a flaw in the film, even though it was on two different missions.
And so, you experienced this happening yourself in person?
Yeah.
That's really interesting. That's fascinating. That's almost like right out of a movie, where they are tracking an object and, the meteor appears to be hovering over a small town in Wisconsin type of thing.
Yeah, this was just photography, but it was extremely good at photography. And they couldn't explain what it was, and it definitely wasn't a flaw in the film, because they not only was on two different missions, which 90 minutes around the Earth, but they had some film experts look at it, and they said this is not a flaw. but the higher-ups continued to say that. So it gave me the impression that way up in the government, that, I mean, we had clearances to look at everything we got on the satellite photography. But somebody was just debunking it with us, just like they do with anyone else, even though it was kind of our job to study what we got on the satellite photography.
I think there was a photo person who was Donna Hare. Is that the right name I'm thinking of? Whose job it was essentially took part in the citizens' hearings and claimed that it was her job to actually airbrush out these anomalies on the satellite photos. So that would be another person. Have you made any statements yourself to this effect besides just telling the story on shows, or is this covered in your book at all?
Yeah, it's covered in my book.
Excellent.
But the photography would be classified, so, and you know, I obviously couldn't walk out with it or anything, so I wouldn't be able to say anything anymore.
What do these things look like? I mean, could they be clearly discerned, or were they just sort of blips or splotches, or what do they look like, actually?
This looked pretty clear. I didn't actually measure it, but it looked like a round object with a dome. It was over water, and you could see it wasn't in the water, and it moved a little bit. And it wasn't in any of the aircraft that anybody knew about in that area at all, because we kept pretty good track of the aircraft that were in the area.
Very interesting. And to your knowledge, none of these photographs have been leaked out to the public or anything like that, or found in any UFO books?
Before you answer it, let's do a cliffhanger, and then we'll continue with Dr. Irina Scott, J. Randall Murphy, and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up many times a night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to ProstateMiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
Lifetime Grace 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit partdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're back with Dr. Irina Scott as she prepares to engage in a further discussion with our guest co-host, J. Randall Murphy.
Oh, we were just trying to determine if Dr. Scott knows of any leaked information that includes photographs or anything like that.
Nothing came out from where I was working because it was all classified. I mean, if photography is classified, and I don't know if I leaked information from that area at all.
So these objects that you saw, I mean, could you tell that they were structured craft, or do they?
We just saw one, but
oh, okay.
It was definitely structured because I took the photographs we had and manipulated them so they were all on the same scale and everything, looked in stereo, and they were definitely something there.
Okay, and then so at what altitude would this have been at, do you figure?
I figure it was airplane altitude, but I don't really know.
Definitely off the ground at some distance, not in space, in the atmosphere someplace?
Yeah, not in space.
Okay. And, so round in shape, metallic at all, or?
I couldn't tell, but it looked like it probably was. It looked just like an airplane.
Oh, if it looked like an airplane, then maybe it was an airplane. Or
well,
did you mean by looked like an airplane, it didn't look like an airplane, but had similar textural features?
If it was metallic, then I mean the surface looked like an airplane. The thing didn't look like an airplane.
Ah, okay. So, and you, I imagine, would have seen balloons like the Skyhooks or something similar in films before, so you could distinguish between something like a high-altitude research balloon from what this object would have been?
Well, my supervisors were above me, and they definitely thought it was something there that was very unusual.
And about what year would that have been?
It was in the 1960s.
Oh, okay. I believe that was the era of the Skyhooks, but I'd have to look that up to be sure.
Well,
those were huge metallic balloons that would have looked round from above. So are you talking about a satellite photo, like taken down on the earth, toward the earth, or where were these pictures taken from?
Satellite photo taken down on the earth.
Oh, very interesting.
And it would have been out of focus if it was way up. It was focused for about airplane height and to the ground.
Any other interesting details before we move on the subject?
Well, it wasn't me that reported it. It was my supervisors, and one of them was pretty high in the government. And so it wasn't just something I imagined. It was something that they reported, and they were top experts.
So you figure there's somebody else up there above your level in the government that gets these reports. Obviously, it was reported, and then they just sort of slough it off and try to hand wave it to the lower people. And we still don't know really who it is up there that deals with the really interesting stuff then.
Well, I thought it came from the CIA, and I also thought if they were professional people, that was part of our job to identify things. And if they were professional and they thought it was something different, well, they should have explained why and talked to us about it to improve our ability to work. Instead, they just said this was a flaw in the film, which was very, very obviously not true.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've heard of an author, Howard Blum. He wrote a book called Out There, in which he claims to have had an insider, sounds very much like yourself, who revealed to him that this type of thing does go on. And so I thought that was pretty interesting, too. So you're kind of like an actual real live person who was there and has seen something like this take place.
Yes, and that caused me to be very suspicious of the government. And I also found out later that the DIA actually was investigating UFOs at the time that happened, too. But I didn't know it when I was working there. At that time, I wasn't too interested in UFOs. And if I'd have known then I was going to write a book in the future, well, I'd have paid a lot more attention. But it's something that still is turned in by my superiors and there were top photo interpreters, photogrammists.
Quick question here, Irina. Did anyone you work for ever tell you, get off the UFO subject?
I wasn't into the UFO subject then. I don't think they harassed my supervisors because they were kind of higher-ups. So, but whoever they reported to did.
So what do you think these things are then? You've been in it for quite a while, you've studied it, you've seen some strange stuff yourself. What in your evaluation do you think these objects are that are the subject of sighting reports?
Actually, I hate to say it, but I don't have any idea. I've studied it, and as I studied it, I keep thinking, well, maybe I'll find out or have an idea. But I don't understand it at all. And I even wonder if they're material objects or something somebody can cause people to see. I mean, not somebody, but some force can cause people to see.
That's interesting because we have a question in the forum here about MUFON, and it's what he calls its lockstep adherence to the ETH. So you're not personally heavily invested in the ETH. You're still going, well, there's something strange, but I don't know what it is.
Yes.
And what do you think of MUFON's policy then? Do you get any kind of blowback from them on sort of your ambivalence about what they are? Or do you think that there's studying UFOs for the benefit of humanity? Do you think that they've really got any true scientific information there to go on? Or what's your opinion on that?
I don't know. I think one thing they're doing that's real good is just collecting the information, because whatever theory anybody has, it might change in the future. And if you have a lot of information, you can you can test out different theories. So I think their database is very good.
But is it something you would classify yourself as truly scientific? I mean, they really make a point of saying, you know, the scientific investigation of UFOs for the benefit of humanity. And to that, the skeptics, that's just a call for being accused of doing pseudoscience, because they don't consider just, you know, somebody reporting something on a website as being really all that evidentiary. Like, where do you draw the line for evidence then in terms of what you would qualify as scientific versus urban legend or just something anecdotal, casual.
Well, I think there's been some good scientific studies done. And, for example, when talking to people at Mattel, they had really good ideas on how to study the objects, such as setting up a study area, getting a control group, and things like that that would just be like you'd write, you'd use the information for a scientific paper and to get certain kinds of photography of them. And that sort of thing would be very hard because there's not millions of UFOs flying around all the time. But the project, so far as I know, was never done at all, although they just had excellent ideas. And another real good study was by Dr. Harley Rutledge. I think his book is called Project Identification, and he was a physics professor. And there had been a flap around where he was. It was 1973, and he thought he would go out and solve the whole problem in a week or two. So he took a contingent and did a field study. And his report was very good, too, because they had, like, real-time studies of UFOs. But I think there's probably going to be lots of theories now and in the future. And just having information, even if some of it's wrong, is very handy.
Oh, definitely. Go ahead, Gene.
All right. I want to ask you a couple of more things since we are on the subject of MUFON. And we know you don't speak for the organization, but it may be interesting anyway. Dr. Irina Scott, UFOs Today is the book, and we're covering the cover-up of UFOs and also elements regarding MUFON and their research. J. Randall Murphy is the guest co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.